You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Third and final hour.
Third and final hour of the program is here at the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, and myself. One more hour to go. Fantasy best friends forever, Jake and Corey, are back.
The BFFs coming up in about an hour from now.
The fantasy biffles, as some would call you.
Yeah, you know, we'll get into some of this FSTA draft, talk about some more baseball things. Obviously, we've turned the page to that time of year.
We'll be chatting about the Royal Rumble.
I believe that was yesterday they had the Royal Rumble chat. Okay. So then we'll, you know, and then we'll get into some, you know, and I know, and I think we're going to do some more recap and reviewing of the 2016 NFL season. So, big program coming up today on the BFFs. Make sure you keep it locked right here.
Tony, did you check out Monday Night Raw last night?
Monday Night Raw? No, I did not.
Oh, you missed a good ending, which featured Goldberg coming out and messing up his lines, which is hysterical. He also, Bill Goldberg, came out, you know, he busts through the door and he comes out with this whatever. He hit his head on the door and started bleeding on his head without doing anything.
On the way out.
On the way out. So he's just standing there trying to cut a promo, bleeding profusely from his head. It was hilarious.
Is Goldberg washed up?
So then, like, he's bleeding, he's sweating from walking out, and he can't remember his lines. He can't remember, like, oh, the Royal Rumble, I'm going to win the whatever title. And he couldn't remember the lines. So then eventually he gets to the lines, and then Brock Lesnar makes a surprise appearance. That wasn't advertised. So he comes out, right? And the two of them are face-to-face. And then all of a sudden, the gong hits. And the Undertaker just appears in the ring.
Oh, boy.
And those three, you know, 50-year-old dudes just...
Wrestling needs an influx of new talent.
Yes, I've been saying that for about 20 years now.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, they have it. They have about 300 wrestlers now.
Well, yes, but they need to trust some of these other guys, right? Like, you know, trust somebody else not named those three or John Cena, probably.
Well, they need to sell T-shirts. If they sold T-shirts, they would be in the big event.
Yo, let me tell you something right now. Speaking of which, you know, from time to time, taking my son,
dictate all this stuff,
and taking my nephew. I mean, small venues. I'm not even talking about like Madison Square Garden or the Barclays Center. Small venues like in Yonkers and White Plains and stuff like that. The merchandise, the WWE merchandise game is unbelievable.
It's fantastic.
Those things, when wrestling comes to a little local, your little town right there, they're putting on the show. But that merchandise is, I mean, the line to get in the merchandise area is out the door. And I'm talking about they're selling stuff out there. You've seen people walking away with $200 and $300 bills of WWE merchandise. They do a good job with that.
I love the best guy of all time is the guy. That's like the 35-year-old, 40-pound overweight guy that needs to buy the $400 championship belt.
Oh, I love that guy.
I love that guy right there.
That guy right there.
That guy cuts the line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're trying to get the 10-year-old set up to the front of the line. I need that last belt. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, that belt is $450. Go on a date.
Those guys are the greatest. In Jacksonville, the last time I was there, they had a TV thing. They had a special table for those $400 belts, and they had like 20 of them on there. I'm like, that's crazy. Yep. That's 10 grand of belts right
there.
That's
crazy. Right there.
Yeah. 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Bob in Long Island, you're up first this morning. What's going on, Bob?
What's the deal, Bob?
Gentlemen, hey, Corey, Tony, Greg, what's going on, guys?
What's
nice
up,
show.
Man?
Love it.
Thank you.
How you doing? Hey, you're trying to get started early this year. Tony, in baseball, you know, I mean, I don't usually start this early, but, you know, I got a couple of players I just want to question you about. You guys, see what you think. I looked at this Hernan Perez. Is he going to get full-time action this year, you think, or is he just going to be like a fill-in?
Well, Bob, you're impressing me coming up with Hernan Perez. You must be really working hard.
I am.
You want to change your outlook on people looking at you, Bob? You want to change your luck with the people out there? I don't think he gets full-time, but I think he gets pretty close to full-time. So probably like 5 out of 7 days a week he'll be in there. He'll get 25, 30 stolen bases.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get guys for bases, trying to put it all together, you know, that's all. You know, I figured he was one name maybe he could snatch late in the draft, you know. Maybe get him for a dollar, get him for a dollar at the end or something like that, you know. And Wellington Castillo, I mean, is he getting, you think he's going to get a big bump in home runs going to Baltimore or what?
Who was that you said?
Wellington Castillo.
The catcher.
Wellington Castillo.
Oh, Wellington Castillo. No, no, he was in Arizona, and that's a great ballpark for home runs, so I don't think he's going to get a big bump at all.
Okay.
I think he's going to be good. I think you could use him as a catcher, but yeah. I think you look at it last year, right? He hit 14 home runs. He hit 19 the year before, so he's not going to hit 27 home runs.
Yeah, I understand. All right. Listen.
He hit 15, Bob. Give you about a 250.
Bob,
baby.
You're starting to worry me, Bob. You're doing all this great research. It's early, Bob. I'm scared now.
What's going on, Bob?
Well, I mean, Tony, you know, I'm getting old. You know, like I used to be able to do it in the last 2 weeks of this, you know, before the season. Now I'm getting so old, I got to start this early, you know. It takes me time to get through the computer. It takes me time to get the computer started. So you know what I'm saying. You know, it's like
still on dial up.
Still on dial up. Yeah, I'm still on dial up. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. You guys have a great day.
Thanks.
Bob's gonna be taking me on in the Greenwich Street Tavern.
Oh, he hopped in
football. Yeah, football, him and Bruce, they made a good run, but they came up a little short, so they're looking to redeem themselves. If you guys want to participate, you know, Corey, I'm having a hard time getting some of these roto experts in the draft. You know,
really? These all talk, no experts. Action, huh?
So, Tony, I got that email yesterday about that league, and I'm working on finding a partner for that to participate.
Yeah, that's what people partner up, because it's actually a good party. Corey was there last for the football,
had
right?
A good time. Definitely had a good time. Is it an auction or a draft, Tom?
Draft. The auction in the restaurant setting won't work.
Tough.
Oh, it's not an auction.
It's a snake draft. Snake draft.
How many people signed up so far?
Really?
If I wanted, I could have 40. But we can keep it to 15.
How many people do you have in already?
I've got half because I stopped trying to get more roto experts in.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was a snake draft. That could change things for my potential partner. Interesting.
Yeah, snake. Now, the auction. See, the one problem is the bar is open while we do the draft. And every once in a while, I have to sit people, and that would really hurt the auction.
Double dipping.
Good point.
Double dipping, Tony. It's a good point.
Now the bar is open. Are we given food here, or we have to buy the food?
I'm sure Chris will provide a nice little spread for the participants.
Yeah, last time we had all sorts of varieties of chicken wings and I think some sliders.
But you have to buy your own alcoholic beverage.
That's reasonable.
Yeah,
that's reasonable.
No.
Yeah. No issue there.
I'm not. You know, we're not giving. I don't blame Chris. I wouldn't have y'all drunk on my dime either. Well,
the plan is to get the fans executive drunk and then beat them. Right, that's the plan.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of listeners that are very good to the host, too, and they try to buy you drinks as well.
Really?
That's true, too. That's always works, too.
So maybe I should show up.
Oh, no, you should definitely
roll
through.
Oh, yeah. It's a good time.
Even if you're not playing, it's a good time.
The king, we got to get the king back in it, because last year, you know, the football... I thought he had the worst team in the league at the end. I was like, what was he doing? And then he held on until the final week, and he got knocked out. So
and I
maybe
had the
he
worst
can rebound
team.
In baseball.
So now, it's 10 a.m. I don't want to drink at 10 a.m. I don't eat wings at 10 a.m.
Baseball draft not going to be over till 1 o'clock. So when the time the party's over, you be nice and, you know, feeling good about yourself.
Yeah, you don't want to drink anyways at the start of the draft, right? You don't want to blame me. You know, oh, jeez.
I like beer, though. Big fan of beer.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
It's 10 a.m., though. It's not like it's... You can drink at 10 a.m. It's New York.
It's true. It's daytime.
Yeah. I mean, what if...
It's been times I've still been drunk at 10 a.m., so there you go. So there you go.
Yeah, what
right
if you didn't
there.
Go home before? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tony, I don't expect you to go home, believe me.
Oh, your boy Papa's on TV. You know what? I tell you what. Let me tell you. You know, I'll be honest with you. For somebody who don't like talking to the media,
he
Greg
loves
Popovich,
talking to the media.
Anytime you put a microphone in his face and ask him something about Donald Trump, he'll gladly give you 15 minutes of his time.
I don't agree. I think he loves talking to the media.
You think so?
Loves it.
And people are saying that Pop should run for office.
Yeah, with him and The Rock, right? You see that?
No, I didn't see nothing about The Rock.
Yeah, him and The Rock to run together.
Really?
Yeah.
Pop and The Rock.
Do they know each other?
No, I don't think so.
All Yeah, Greg Popovich is something else, huh? How about that?
He loves the media. Don't let anyone don't let anyone tell you differently.
Pop, taking a stand. I tell you what. I think Steve. You know what? It's a very. Have you read that article in the New York Times about
which one?
Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's a very interesting dude.
He is an interesting dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he. I love how he called people out for the whole All-Star thing.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which, what article are you referring to?
Oh, this was written, I think, maybe sometime back in late November, early December.
One?
Huh?
Is this the pot one?
I think so, yeah. Oh, okay. It was a piece done on him in the New York Times. Steve Kerr, interesting.
One of my illustrious fans, one of my illustrious fans actually pointed something out to me yesterday.
What makes your fans illustrious?
No, one of them. This guy's illustrious. You can make this decision after this. After I tell you his comment. He says that Michelle Obama, in 8 years of working on the health of Americans, in one day, Donald Trump got more people to walk than Michelle Obama did.
Do you know, I actually saw that tweet.
I cleaned it up a little, right, Craig?
Yeah. You did. I saw that
Michelle Obama was fixing school lunches and dancing and exercising for 8 years, and Donald Trump was there one day, and everybody took to the streets.
So that's why my fans are illustrious.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know how every first lady has their platform? I think, like, Michelle Obama's was, like, getting, you know, people healthy and moving and stuff and getting good school lunches in there for the kids and stuff like that, which is a very big deal. You know what I mean, for the future of the youth, because you don't want the kids to be you know fat, overweight and stuff like that. Has Melania taken on anything yet?
Well, it's early, right? It's only day.
Oh, you gotta wait. You gotta wait until figure it out.
Yeah.
Cool. She came back to the city, right? After
yeah,
the inauguration, she came back to the city. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's based on some pictures I've seen, I think she could be helping out the gay and lesbian situation.
How pissed do you think that is Melania? We don't want to talk about this now. Never mind.
No. Tony, you talk about that picture. I think I saw that picture this morning. That was weird, right? Like, you know, the internet is undefeated, right? So everything I see on the net now, I start to question. Because, like, I saw a picture, like, when walking up the stairs, right, where 44, the outgoing President Barack Obama had his hand on her back. I saw the same picture with his hand on her ass, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And then the picture I saw, she had like her like outfit, her Ralph Lauren inaugural, exactly, her Ralph Lauren inaugural gown had like a bulge in the front of it. Did you see that one, Greg?
No, I didn't see that one.
I think that's the one Tony's referring to. But she came back up to New York, because Washington, the White House is where the men handle business at. You know what I'm saying?
The white man.
You know, Donald said he'd be upset if he came home and his wife didn't have a good meal ready for him.
Yeah,
I don't see her as the cooking type.
No, I don't either, Donald. They definitely have help.
The help.
Yes.
I need to stop this before I get in trouble.
More JT Real Muto. can't go wrong with JT Real Muto, Greg.
can't get in trouble with JT Real Muto.
You certainly can't. Hey, I didn't get a chance yesterday. Great job by the Atlanta Falcons. That was a dominant performance by the Atlanta Falcons this past weekend. That was a fun football team to watch all year.
Given the Packers beat your team, mm-hmm. were you rooting for the Packers or against the Packers?
I said when at the start of the playoffs, I thought that the Dallas Cowboys would likely end up losing to the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay.
Well, they lost to the Packers, and then the Packers went and got throttled in the Georgia Dome.
How about the Georgia Dome?
Is that the biggest moment
biggest
now?
Moment in Georgia
is that
Dome
the biggest
history.
Moment in Georgia Dome history
the
now?
The last game of the Georgia Dome was the biggest moment in the Georgia Dome.
How about that?
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
That's poetic.
Finally unseated WrestleMania.
Yep.
Well, it was actually a Monday Night Nitro, but that's okay.
Oh, it wasn't WrestleMania?
No, it was Nitro.
Oh, it was Nitro. That big event was Nitro.
Yes.
So if you look at the Falcons will probably open up against I can see
who wins the Super Bowl first.
Well, yeah, if they were to win the Super Bowl, they would have a chance to open up their new stadium.
It's Packers.
Oh, is the Packers on their 2017 schedule?
Yeah, they both won the divisions.
That doesn't that
I would think
mean
that.
Yes, it does.
They're not on Dallas'
even
schedule.
Even if the Falcons.
Green Bay is absolutely on Dallas' schedule.
Green Bay is, but not Atlanta.
Of course they are.
Atlanta's not on Dallas' schedule.
Yes, they are.
I looked at it last night.
You looked wrong. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe I was looking at the road games.
That's possible.
Maybe that was a mistake of mine.
There you go. I don't know if Atlanta plays Green Bay at home or not, but I know they play Green Bay. You could also have Atlanta versus Dallas.
Let me see. That's Dallas, and it seemed like that would be Dallas and the Giants, the annual
Sunday Night Football.
The annual
start
tradition.
Off the year.
I know, right? 2017, Atlanta Falcons, so 2017 annoying. Opponents. If they were to win the Super Bowl, they would like, they have home games. You're right. They have home games versus Green Bay.
Yeah.
In Dallas, it would likely be the,
one
if they
were
to
teams.
Win, it would either be the Packers or the Cowboys opening up that Thursday night.
I think there's a chance, even if they don't win the Super Bowl, that they still get that Thursday night game.
No, they can't do that. They can give them Sunday
I think
night
with
football.
The new,
they can give them Sunday night football.
With the new stadium?
Yeah, but with the new stadium, I think they might give it to them. You know, and Roger Goodell likes to upset those New England Patriots.
He does.
He really does. Oh, look at this, though.
What?
The Patriots have a home game versus the Falcons next year.
There you go.
So that could be a rematch.
Second year in a row.
Yeah, it could be 2 years in a row where they have a rematch.
There
to
you
start.
Go. If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, that's what it'll be. It'll
I
be
think
re-
so.
It'll
if
be
the Patriots
Super
win the
rematch.
Super Bowl,
second
be
year
Super
in a row.
Rematch. Yeah.
That'd be very cool. Because I was actually thinking who the Patriots would play. I had no idea. Like, would they play anybody else good?
Well, they got the Chiefs, the Chargers. You know, I'm looking.
They got the West.
Huh?
They got the West, you're saying?
Yeah, Chiefs and Chargers. I'm looking at, well, right now my computer's slow, so this stinks right here. But I know they have the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Falcons.
Peyton Manning to come back.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Denver.
Let me see. In 2017, Patriots. Why is my computer running so slow all of a sudden? This stinks.
I'm sorry, Tom. I'm sorry. My computer's actually going slow as well, so it's not you. It must be the internet.
It must be internet here, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Tony, can you help us?
Please.
The internet was down. The internet was down this morning at the.
Oh, really?
Here's the Patriots' home schedule.
Thank you, sir.
The Patriots play the Bills, Dolphins, Jets, which are all in division. Kansas City, San Diego, Atlanta, Carolina, Cam Newton.
I think it's the Falcons.
Then they go the Buffalo. Oh, yeah.
That's it. If that's the whole schedule, then they're definitely playing Atlanta.
So if the Patriots
win
the
Super Bowl rematch.
So if the Patriots play the Super Bowl, it's a Super Bowl rematch to start
not,
the season.
And probably NFC Championship game rematch, I would think.
And then it would be NFC Championship game rematch
that
to start
my guess.
The season.
That would
so,
be my
yeah.
guess.
So really, we already have the first game of NFL season to light the way. It's going to involve the Atlanta Falcons, definitely.
Yes, and the Falcons will be playing Thursday Night Football.
And their opponent will either be the Green Bay Packers or the New England Patriots.
And they'll probably be underdogs in both games.
Yeah, once again, they'll be underdogs.
All right, we're going
to
take a break.
It's easy to sleep on Atlanta because they have a history of not showing up.
Not winning the big one.
But this year, they reversed those fortunes.
When we take a break, when we come back, we'll continue talking to Charlie Wiegand's team. Mike Cardano, who's in this draft, we'll join the program around 9:30 a.m. Eastern time this morning. When we come back, we're going to talk about... Who do I want to talk about? I want to talk about Eric Thames, because I don't know much about this man. Maybe Tony does. He can help us out next on the Roto Experts. Corey's teaching me about... new apps you can use to set up Uber.
Juno.
Yeah, somebody told me about it. Why is Juno good?
Right now it's beta testing. Like I said, I just got it this
morning. Someone told me about it.
The Lyft driver gave it to me this morning. He said this is what he uses because guess they're trying to, trying to flood the market and try to take some of the other people in the app.
But like,
industry.
There's not going to be anything better than Uber Pool, right? There's nothing better than Uber Pool.
I haven't done Uber Pool yet.
You're crazy, man.
I haven't done it
yet.
It's
basically free.
Really? That's what everybody says, but I don't know. I just, I'm just going to, not everybody want to ride with me. Next stop, please. So I'm going to try it out. You know what I mean? I'm going to give it a shot.
Now, how much does this Lyft cost? Lyft is like Uber, right?
Yeah. I don't have a tough time.
A fixed price before you get in?
Well, you know what's crazy about that? Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. I wonder why that is.
So I don't like that. I need a fixed price. I'm not getting in there without a fixed price.
Really?
Yeah.
I get the estimate. All the time.
So that's why Uber's changed now. They give you a fixed price before you get in.
That's good,
right? So I like that. I know what I'm paying.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Like what I did like this morning. Well, that's not this morning. That's not important. It wasn't. This morning was about the same as the yellow.
Okay.
How can you purchase something and not know the price?
Exactly. Of course,
I seems shady.
I think you go into the situation. Boy, the internet is real bad in here this morning. I think you go into the situation looking at it. I look at the estimate, and then, you know, from what I've
sounds
done.
Sounds grand.
From what I've done before, you know, I don't think that anybody's going to try to rip me off. So I'm giving these people a lot of trust.
We were looking at Charlie Weegar's pitching before, and he started Madison Bumgarner, Carlos Martinez, Jake DeGrom. And I think he actually did a really nice job afterwards because some of these names are interesting to me, Tony, including both the former and current Mariner in James Paxton, who went in the 15th, and then five rounds later in the 20th, Taijuan Walker. In between them, you have Garrett Richards coming back from that elbow injury and Michael Pineda. He also wound up picking Adam Wainwright in the 23rd. I think this is a nice job.
So he gambled on a lot of pitches and got value on them, and it helps basically two of these guys can come in
yes.
and get to the
yes.
form either they were expected to or that they actually had at one time in their career. So that's definitely a way to do it. And then you adjust during the season, you play it out like that. And that's how you get value out of your pitching staff. So, yeah, it's not a bad strategy on his part.
What do you think of both Paxton and Walker this year? Because they've been, like, forever linked because they're the two young guys with the Mariners. Now Walker's on Arizona, obviously. Paxton had a nice September. What do you think about James Paxton and Taijuan Walker?
To be honest, with the Taijuan Walker situation, I don't know how you could go from a better pitcher's park to a worse pitcher's park,
and
right?
Get better.
And the only good point to that is that he's going from the American League to the National
right.
League. So maybe that gets an offset. His strikeout totals haven't been there. There's always injuries there. Taijuan Walker is probably a guy that I would avoid on draft day, except when we get into like the 20th rounds and we're trying to take a flyer, and then you could see what you got from him, and in a month or two, he'll either be on the waiver wire again or he all of a sudden find it. Cause he's still a young pitcher, and that's the thing. Times people give up on these guys too early. Now, James Paxton's a different story. He's a guy that basically injuries have been the derailment for him. I like what I saw from him last year in 121 innings. He had a K per 9 rate of almost 9. His ERA is under 4. I think I would go with Paxton over Walker if it was me and these guys would lay the end of the draft. And I feel confident maybe as a 6th, 7th pitcher, a guy you don't have in your lineup every week, but a guy that you spot start.
Friendly ballpark for pitchers, not to mention the fact that Tony said the improvements he made last season looked like they were legit. So I agree. I think I'd like Paxton over Walker, but I have no really
five rounds earlier? That's
really
a lot of rounds.
Yeah, there's a lot of rounds earlier. But still.
Yeah, no, I would take him five rounds earlier. Mm-hmm. I mean, Taijuan Walker could have an ERA of 5.
Sure. Here's what I don't understand. I know it's not Weegar's team, but it's related to it. So Weegar in the what round is this now? In the 19th round, he took Garrett Richards. Come back from the elbow surgery injury. Didn't have Tommy John, even though he needed it, right? Had like that plasma-rich injection instead. So he's coming back. He's trying to do the same thing that Masahiro Tanaka's doing. In the middle of the 19th round, the 6th pick, that's when Jay Happ went. And I don't know much. Well, you know, whatever. He won 20 games last year. Why is a 20-game winner going in the 19th round?
People scared of the ballpark.
I know they're scared of the ballpark. I know they're scared of his FIP was terrible, right? Like, XFIP is even worse. I get that. But 20 wins, and I know wins are unpredictable. That's a lot of wins.
Yeah, they're unpredictable, though.
And there's a couple things to play. First of all, you don't want to pay for last year's stats ever, right?
Right.
And he's 34 years old. So to say that we just look back at last year is tough, right? So you got to look at J.A. Happ through his career, and the guy's an average pitcher at best, right, throughout
right.
his whole career.
Right.
So we're not almost saying at 34 he's put it together, he's become the guy. Even though he puts up 20 wins, his strikeout totals are not great.
Nope.
So he puts balls in play in a great offensive ballpark in arguably the best offensive division there. So I think people look at it as like everything went right last year, and how the hell is that ever going to happen again?
I mean, he really hit the stone cold nuts when it came to luck last year with career best almost across the board, personal records in game starts, inning pitches, whip was good. He also, right, he had 6.9 runs per start, which was the second most in the majors. That's why he won 20 games last year.
Well, I mean, it's not like his ERA was bad, Corey.
No,
right?
He still did
his ERA
still
was
3.18.
It was good.
I understand. He still did his thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. People just, it's hard to trust but he probably should be a few rounds higher. I agree with you.
Oh, 19th round seems crazy to me. Where'd my other boy go from Toronto, now that I'm thinking about it? Well, man, Marco Estrada went in the 20th, and I love Marco Estrada. I know, Tony, we talked about this earlier in the week. Like, we don't understand why this guy's good, but he's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a lot of times, though. Your job as a fantasy owner is basically what's happening in the future, right? So you look at a lot of these numbers, and when you find things that don't add up, a lot of times you're like, yeah, let someone else handle that. And I think that's it with Jay Happ. I think that's it with Marco Estrada. And it's interesting to see, and I wish Jay Happ won 19 games instead of 20.
Right.
Because I want to, because the 20 wins like really sticks out. So where would he have gone? Would he have went the 28th round or not got picked?
Right, and that's go crazy to me.
He's a heavy fly ball pitcher though. He's a heavy fly ball pitcher.
He's a heavy,
and that's dangerous.
He's a heavy fly ball pitcher. Yeah, in that ballpark, that's why I can't believe he's pitched so well.
I get it.
When he, in his career too, in Estrada's defense, he pitched in two great hitters ballparks.
Yes,
in
Milwaukee and
great
in
hitters ballpark in Toronto, and yet he's been all right.
Yeah, he's been able to kind of to keep it afloat, stay out there, and get a pretty decent amount of innings. Now, listen to this. He got 3.9 runs per game from the Jays offense. So there you go right there.
Yeah.
That's crazy how that happens, right?
I want Estrada tested, too, for, maybe some.
You want all the guys in Toronto tested. That's why I like Hedges Morales.
Well, that's, you know what? Actually, there is a common theme there, right?
Of course there is.
But the one stat that really jumps out at me when I look at Marco Estrada in last year, because this guy, he's had a long career. I mean, he's been around forever.
Yeah.
2008.
And I said Jay Happ at 34 years old, all of a sudden, is he going to get better?
Right.
Well, this guy's strikeout rate went up to 2 K/9 last year.
8.44.
Right. And when I look at the numbers, the only thing that changed, and not too much, was his cutter. Something changed with his cutter.
Right.
He threw it 8% of the time in 2015 and 11% of the time in 2016, and he dropped 2 miles an hour, which is actually a good thing on it. And that's the only difference, so I don't know where all these strikeouts came from.
I don't know. I don't know either. I know the ground ball percentage is pretty similar, fly ball percentage, pretty similar. Yeah, I don't know. And I know the FIP and XFIP were both terrible again. Actually, FIP went down. His FIP and XFIP both went down last year. A little bit.
Yeah. So, this Marco Estrada continues to be. And a guy can't hit 90 on the radar gun. No. He allows fly ball. Like, this should be a disaster.
Yeah, he's.
But he's not!
I
know!
Let me tell you something. Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine? I don't remember ever in this situation. Can you imagine, though, the kind of contrarian play he is in DFS?
Because yeah, like, you look at the stats, don't like
yeah, you like, you got, there's no way you can trust this guy.
I'm going to draft him this year. I'm telling you right now. I'm in the 20th round last night. I'm going to draft him this year. Speaking of drafts from last night, coming up next, Mike Cardano, the boss. He joins us here on the Roto Experts. In honor of our guest this morning. All right! We're back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, and we bring in head of radio and the head of the team. He was called Michael Corleone last night. To us, he's just Mike Cardano. What's up, Mikey?
All right. I thought he was going to call me Vito.
No, I'm not going to call you Vito.
That wouldn't be nice.
That's not nice.
I was almost named Pasquale. My mom saved me from that.
That's pretty good. Mike's better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
how you feeling this morning, Mikey?
You know what? I was responsible after 4.5 hours of going through this draft and drinking rum and coke. I went to bed last night. Mm. I didn't see Nando till about 3:30 this morning when I woke up.
You like rolled
and
up.
He was walking in. Mm. You didn't know he was walking in.
Right.
Morning.
By the way, I didn't want to take a picture. It was disrespectful. But he looks a lot like Abe Lincoln when he sleeps.
What do you mean? Like Abe Lincoln in the movie theater? Or
no.
What do you mean?
Abe Lincoln laying in the coffin, actually. I'm going to take a picture. Yeah. He sleeps on his back. And with the beard and the chin the way it is, I'm telling you, it looks exactly like, I'll do it tonight. I'll do it on one of those Snapchat things where it disappears.
It disappears.
Well, you can take a screenshot of it.
Which one of you guys is the snorer of the room?
Since I dropped the weight, I stopped with the... Yeah, by the way, you were a popular topic of conversation with just about everybody here, which apparently you've roomed with just about everybody here, and your sleep apnea is infamous.
Oh, yeah. People like that. People get a little crazy.
They're concerned for you, Tony.
That's good. I'm glad that people are concerned. Now, who is responsible for drafting this team?
It was a collage of Chris Meany and I. Mm-hmm. I actually had a lot of other things going on. So out of the 29 picks, I would probably say maybe I did 10 of them. He probably did the rest.
So what happened? Nando bailed on the draft?
Nando was flirting with the people here at the FSTA during the draft.
Oh.
Yes.
Nashville's a nice city. You know what I mean? So definitely got some good stuff. Mike, let me ask you about a couple of these pitchers right off the bat.
Hold on, Mike. You can get into it. But you drafted 10 people, right, out of the 29, which means Meany drafted 19. Why are we not talking to Meany?
Sleep.
I believe Meany might still be in bed as well. Oh, he's coming on with Jake next hour.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, all right. That's fair. Okay, fair
talk
enough.
To Chris
Meany. We'll talk to Cardona.
Maybe I should save my question.
You get the minor league stuff. Jake gets the... Yeah.
Hey, but Mike, let me ask you this. I'm looking at two pitchers on this team right off the top, Dallas Keuchel and Matt Harvey. Both guys looking to rebound. You guys feel confident in that?
You know what? We decided to not go after the big guys off the beginning. We did go with Sale in the third round, but as we went on, we decided let's just go with some guys in the later rounds who have some upside if they pitch to their potential, and so we went about it that way. So that's how we took those people, looking for bounce back, looking for healthy years and bounce back. So you know, if somebody like Matt Harvey pitches to his capability, you know, he's a top 10 pitcher there, and we got him in round 10. There's definitely risk involved, but that was the thinking.
Yeah, coming off that injury, that is like
that Noah goes back from in the first year.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We're hoping he does.
Yeah, you went with Gene Segura, of course, who had a monster year last year, but switches from a great offensive ballpark to a good pitcher's ballpark in Seattle. What's your thoughts on Segura?
You know what happened? Chris actually said to me, Chris was getting nervous that there was getting to be kind of a run on the shortstops, and the shortstops were going to be gone, and he was the next guy that he had up on his board, and that's why we picked him in that spot. As soon as, you know, we saw the shortstop starting to go. It's really interesting. This goes in cycles. You remember for a long time, there were no real shortstops. There were one for a while, there were a bunch of shortstops when, you know, in the Garcia Parra era, we had all those shortstops. Then the shortstops went away, and now shortstops are in vogue again. And third base even more so. It's like you can't miss if you pick a third baseman these days.
Well,
so that's how we ended up going there. There was a little bit of a run, and we were afraid we would get shut out.
But what confuses me is you guys drafted Manny Machado with your first pick. He's going to be shortstop eligible, I would think. What did you need Segura for?
He is shortstop eligible. We're not sure. We weren't sure what we were going to do at that point. We ended up taking Frazier. We were looking at go pitching, and then we decided to take Frazier instead. So we weren't sure how this was all going to play out. So, you know, we're hoping it works out for him. He had a great year last year. I don't know if he can duplicate that, but we feel good in the fourth round.
Talking to Mike Cardona live from Nashville at the FSTA conference. Him and Chris Meany participated in the draft last night. First FSTA SiriusXM draft of the season here. You guys took Albert Pujols in the seventh round. Now, they just signed Luis Valbuena as insurance for Albert Pujols to the Angels. They don't think Pujols is going to be ready for opening day. Are you expecting him to be raring to go beginning of April?
Not necessarily. I do think maybe 2 weeks in. I don't think it's going to be a long time, but I'm not banking on he's in the opening day lineup specifically. That didn't concern us. We don't think he's going to get displaced.
All right.
Hey, Mike, you guys took Machado in the first round. Clayton Kershaw went to pick ahead of you. If Clayton Kershaw was available, would you have started your team with Clayton Kershaw?
No, we were not going to take a pitcher in the first two rounds. We were not going to do it.
That was a predetermined strategy coming in.
Yeah, we looked at it, and we were actually curious as to where Kershaw would go. You saw what happened last year. It doesn't take much, you know, and it could be a toe. It could be an arm, a back, anything. These guys, they throw so hard now, and they're doing all kinds of things. And it doesn't take much for a pitcher to be out of action. The whole Mets pitching staff, you got Strasburg, anybody. So the risk to me, So, I mean, where did Kershaw end up from a season-long standpoint in the final rankings? He couldn't have possibly – and when he did pitch, he was fine, but he couldn't have possibly lived up to where you took him. So, and it's not – I'm not suggesting that he'll get hurt again, but the risk – we just decided that any pitcher can any one pitch could do him in for any period of time. We decided we'd wait.
That's what surprised me about your pick in the third round with your first pitcher, Chris Sale. Why did you choose Chris Sale over Corey Kluber or even Noah Syndergaard?
You know, that's really a question for Chris specifically. He had him ready to go, queued up, really ready to go. He likes him in Boston. He likes that park for him. We're not at all scared that everybody's like, well, what about, you know, his K per nine dropped by two, even from 11 to 9. We're not concerned at all. It's still 9. It's not like he went from 7 to 5. So if anybody else was 9 Ks per 9, you'd say, oh, that's awesome. But so we're not concerned at all. You know, he pitched the contact a little more. And to us, that's just, all right, he's not going to try to strike everybody out. And we saw less risk for him to be one of those injury-prone people than more. And normally you would have thought of him the way he throws the ball. It looks like he's going to hurt himself on every throw, the way he contorts himself. But we just felt comfortable with him there, and particularly in Boston, we like to move there.
Talking to Mike Giordano.
Oh, loss in velocity, right?
I'm sorry?
The loss in velocity. The loss in velocity didn't bother you either?
Strikes out 9 batters per 9. I don't care if he does it doing 3 miles an hour, 99 miles an hour. All I know is he throws the ball and it's hard to hit. So it moves. So I've been up there trying to hit these things, and if the ball moves, it's not easy to hit. If you can place it where you want it, Tony, it's that's the difference between these guys who can throw the bejesus out of the ball who are in the minor leagues. There are a lot of guys in the minor leagues, they throw the ball just as hard as the guys in the major leagues. They just can't place it where they want to on every pitch.
We're talking to Mike Giordano live from Nashville. Took part in the FSTA draft last night alongside Chris Meany. And Giordano, you took one closer in Kelvin Herrera. You took him in the 11th round. You have other relievers, but no other closers. What went with that strategy?
We were actually deciding at that point when we didn't get the relievers that we were going to get, were we going to kind of punt the category totally or try to get a closer and then see what we can piece together during the course of the year. And we decided to do that at that point. We didn't get one of the top guys. This is a league is not one where you get 9 pitchers and you're required to have 2 have to be relievers. The only stipulation is that 900 innings. So we kind of went halfway, and we're going to see if we can piece this together as we go along.
Should have learned no half measures in fantasy football or baseball or any sport.
Well, you know what? There's one thing I've learned. I see plenty of people have in both football and baseball have their first round pick go down, and if they know what they're doing, they can piece things together along the way. And the closer position in baseball is one thing. Is I guarantee you there is somebody that has not been taken here who's at all during the draft who's going to turn out to have value as a closer at some point during the year.
Of course.
I guarantee it happens
every
year.
Of course, absolutely.
So we're going to hope to focus on that.
Fair enough.
So that's where we are.
Aaron Judge took a gamble on him late.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, right? So now it's slim pickings. And so, all right, where can we go? Let's look for upside. And that's that. It wasn't much brain surgery there.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the last pick, Souza. It was just like, all right, who's got some upside that is still on the board, and we went there.
More guys like that.
Mike, if there's one pick, yeah. So Mike, if you had one pick to do over, who was the one guy that you wish you didn't take?
Probably Pujols. Not that we don't want him in the spot that we took him. Probably him. I would think that would be the guy. We were really happy with Pomeranz. In the 18th?
Why is that? Because Drew Pomeranz might not even be in the starting rotation in Boston. He could just be a lefty specialist.
I think to just focus on who's the opening day starting roster is shallow thinking.
Thank you.
He's going to be a starting pitcher. He went through a healthy year for the first time in a long time. And so he showed he can be durable now. He did have some problems when he came over. And it was really interesting. It was sporadic. He was either lights out or he got shelled in some of these starts here with Boston. But we like the talent. We're just going to hope it comes through.
Tony, obviously you're a big Boston fan. Drew Pomeranz, what are you expecting from him this year?
He's going to start out in the bullpen, and then he'll find his way into the rotation. I think they want to keep his innings down, and this is the way to go about it.
All right,
let me ask you, what did you guys think about John Gray in the 14th? Obviously, we can get some strikeouts there, but he was like he pitched better in Coors Field, which was we were trying to figure it out and how to play that. We decided, you know what, he's got an arm. We're going to forget the fact that it says Colorado, and we're going to go with the arm. What do you guys make the fact that he pitched better in Colorado?
Honestly, to me, when it comes down to John Gray, as good of a pitcher he could be, I would just never feel comfortable throwing him out there week in and week out. I know what the stats said. I know that he was good in Colorado. I personally don't feel comfortable with him. Tony?
This is a tricky pick. I think around 14, though, is where you can take a shot on a guy like this, and I am not convinced. You're gonna get a ton of, you can get strikeouts with him. I don't think that you're gonna be looking at a guy. When you say he's better on the road, I mean with at home and then on the road. I mean his away ERA is 4.91, so that's nothing to be excited about. And to tell you the truth, I don't know what to make of him. He's got strikeout potential, but he wasn't good at either place.
Yeah. K to 9 in the ground ball ratio, ground water fly ball ratio, impressive. Definitely the top arm in that rotation. Coors Field is always going to be scary. Your pitcher, Coors Field, is not your friend. So it should come regress to the means. But in rounds 14, I do like the pick.
That's nice of you.
One thing that everybody seemed to like here, and it's funny, people, he was an afterthought after we picked him, and then people were coming around saying, oh, we thought that was good, was Odubel Herrera.
Yeah, I do. For sure.
I guess it's the stolen bases that were maybe hidden to people. If he could duplicate what he did last year, which is I think somewhere around 15 home runs, maybe 25 stolen bases, he was maybe at 285 or something like that. I think that's fantastic. You know, in Philadelphia, I guess people shy away. The other thing we were looking to try to do, it wasn't going for us because we would kind of get blocked along the way. We were looking to get pitchers who pitch in the NL East. We felt that some of the offenses there are just really weak, including on many instances the Mets offense. So even some of the Phillies or Atlanta pitchers we thought could possibly work out for people. What
and that's
do you guys
how,
think about that?
And that's how you wound up with Jaime Garcia in the 28th round, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Kyle Barocklo in the 23rd round. So
now his
pitcher-friendly ballparks in the NL East.
Listen, Bear. How do you pronounce this? I pronounce his name Bearclaw. Is that incorrect?
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
I think it's Bearclaw. Like, whatever.
I'd be the first person to correct you. You know that. I have no idea.
Let me tell you this. People cannot hit the ball that he pitches. He has the least contact. The problem is he throws the ball. You cannot hit it. But it's either a strike, he either strikes you out or he walks you. That's the problem. Either way, you don't hit it. There's so much upside we feel there, but there's definitely concern with him on putting people on base. But he has an arm that will play in somebody's bullpen, and we figured who maybe he somebody that may turn into an effective closer during the year.
Mike, did you all said and done? We could drop the BS now. Do you like your team?
It's hard to say on David. Listen, we do this every year at this time. This is to me absurd to be drafting a team this early. Like, the Forsyth trade came, and that changes his prospects and stuff like that. You don't know. I mean, people like Pujols. I don't know. It's possible that a week before spring training, they say he has a setback. And there's no way then I would have drafted him. They could say, oh, he's going to start, be healthy in week two, and then I'm very happy that I took him. So I don't know. For what we wanted, we had two guys that were, to us, must-haves. We really wanted George Springer. We like almost all those guys on that Houston offense. You can make an argument that you can make the argument that they have the best offense in baseball. I don't know what they do. They can't seem to find a first baseman over there. But we got Machado and Springer. Those are the two guys we wanted, and then we started filling around after that. So I'm happy for now, but you know what? Ask me the week before the season starts was when I would normally draft a team, and I could probably give you a better answer then.
There you go, Mike Cardano.
Right, before you,
yes,
yeah,
Tony.
Before you go, can you have Lisa Ann you know, keep my sleeping habits to herself?
You know what? I haven't seen Lisa. Lisa was retweeting me last night. However, I didn't see her. So she's a no-show, and to be, I'll be perfectly as honest I can be here. So the attendance here, which in the past last year in Dallas, I'm going to say, was maybe 450.
Yeah, it was over 400 the last two.
I'm gonna say 250.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's not so good.
Maybe now I think a lot of that has to do with the fall of DFS from the popularity standpoint. I'm not going to say popularity. It's the wrong way to from the legal things that they went through and that there's not as much of that. It's not a buzz here. And also, there are clearly a lot of people here that were disenchanted by the FSTA on how they perceive they handled things, that they favored DFS companies and threw season-long guys under the, you know,
under the bus,
bridge.
When the season long guys and, are kind
and
of the people
I,
that
and
built
I
the,
think
the organization.
People voted with their money and did not pay to come here. Right or wrong, that's the perception that I get.
Yeah.
And that may change going forward, but that's as honest as I can call it here.
It had nothing to do with people favoring DFS companies. They just favored the companies with the money. That was the whole thing.
And listen, everybody does that. I say that to everybody. Right. You know, everybody here is complaining about you know, the press secretary for Trump and it's a big conversation down here and all that stuff. And you know what I've been telling everybody here is you know what, if these media companies, they go out there and if they want to make a statement, don't show up at the press conferences. Just let Fox News show up at the press conference. If you're everybody else, don't show up. But they won't do it, right? They'll complain about it, but they want the advertising money. So it's the same thing here, Tony. People, you know, the FSA or whoever was going to take the money, and it's kind of like human nature, right? They're not the only ones who would have done that, right, wrong, or different. So
absolutely.
That's what happened, you know?
That's it. Well, hey. Tell everybody I said hi. I tell them I miss them, but not really that much.
We will have some streaming guests on here during the day, and I believe you guys are going to come back on with us from what are we doing? 4 to 6 Eastern, correct?
You're doing 3 to 5 Eastern.
I
don't know. I'm all over here. This whole hour's screwing me up.
It's also, he's at 3 to 5 Eastern. It was a show by Mike Cardano, Nando DeFino if he ever wakes up, Chris Meany if he ever wakes up, and a bunch of guests. I don't know. Tony, I don't know.
Is that what we're doing? I think we're doing 4 to 6 Eastern.
You told us 3 to 5. Well, good thing.
Well, I lied. So we'll do 4 to 6.
You're doing 4 to 6 Eastern. It's the three of you, a guest. Tony will be on it. I might be on it. I don't know. Corey might be on it. He has
we want a hodgepodge of as many people back in the studio and remote host as possible. Many as you guys can take. Nando's got a lot to say. He's got a lot to say about what he did last night.
So there's that. So
I'm sure that's not true.
Oh, yeah. He was awake when I left the room a little bit. He had a big shitting grin on his face, so I'm curious to find out as well.
I usually after 10 p.m. I really don't want to talk about what happens.
Well, you know, this is not Vegas.
Nashville is it's the Vegas of the I would say the South. But
have either of you been to Nashville? Is there some place I should go? Something
Phil
I should
Backett
do?
Who might Phil Backett might be there, right? It's
Phil is not here.
Oh, okay. His 30th birthday party was in Nashville. Me, him, and Cheon spent many nights on that music row down there. It was pretty crazy. It was pretty
fun.
So
in Dallas last year, I rode the bull. What can I do here?
Oh, you can't ride a bull. You can't ride a bull. There's no bull. There is no
All
bull
right.
there.
Let me. I've held you guys up enough. I'll catch you later.
All right, there you go. Mike Cardano will be on from evidently 4 to 6, maybe? We don't know. Hey, I'm not a Vito Chris Meany. Sounds like Tony Cicato will call in. We'll have some other people here. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll wrap up the show coming up next.
Fox
Final couple minutes of the program here. Sonny Chicago, Greg Sussman, Corey Parson. We are wrapping up the show. Going to the FS, we got the FSTA conference, draft, all that good stuff. We'll get more into that tomorrow, Tone, right? We have a lot of teams to go over, a lot of players to come over. I thought the best way to handle it was just take it team by team and then break down what we want from that team, because if you went round by round, it would probably get pretty boring.
Oh, you think it gets boring either way, maybe.
Yeah, probably. Try to spice it up.
But we make it entertaining.
I know we had a good day today. I thought the last 2 days have actually been very fun.
That's it. And now we've got the fantasy executive back. Tomorrow we get the king back.
No, not tomorrow. Tomorrow,
oh, I thought he was taking a 3 day hot rest.
He is.
Respite.
He is taking 3 days. Tomorrow's
Wednesday. Oh, see that? I'm trying to rush getting the king back. That's a huge mistake.
Well, it'd be rushing to get the week over with as well, right? We want to get to the weekend and all that good stuff. So, by the way, you actually like Cardano's team?
No.
Yeah, me either. No.
I think the pitching staff is a train wreck.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad. No, that's not good. I think they made some mistakes there. Well, Mike will tell you about it either at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. I'm not really sure. He doesn't really know either.
That's the funniest part of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Our boss doesn't even know what time we're on.
Yeah, and I don't even know what we're going to be on. So we might see you later. If not,
I need to get Mike Florio involved. He's the guy making the decisions around here.
I agree. He should be. Hey, coming up next, it's Fantasy Best Friends Forever with Corey Parson and Jake Seeley. Is the music not playing anymore, Bravona? I thought we were... So should we end the show? Do you not want us to end the show? All right, we're gonna end the program here. Hey, for Tony Sincotta, you'll hear him later today on the DFS Line at Lock. DFS today, of course, at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Corey Parson and Jake Seeley, they're up next. The Fantasy Best Friends Forever. I'll see you in about an hour at the Fantasy News Desk. Have a wonderful rest of your Tuesday, and we will see you tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Thanks, everybody.